Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, a couple of guys who spend more time on putting greens than their own lawns, Frank and Mike.
Welcome back. Back here with the Golf Podcast, brought to you as always by Golficity. So remember, last week we really dedicated the episode to advancing your mental game. So we talked about the top five problems that affect your mental golf game. And later in the bonus tip, we talked about some of our favorite mental game golf books. And it's cool. A bunch of guys I see have been checking those out. So hope you're enjoying them. Make sure you let us know. Like I said, we want to get that feedback. You can always email us at podcast@golficity.com. So that was episode 8. We're, believe it or not, Mike, we're already here at episode 9. It's amazing how fast this is flying by, right?
Oh, it's great. And thank you again for the reviews. They've been fantastic.
Yeah, we had one in particular that really stood out. And again, like we said in the last episode, like, this is really why we do this. And we love hearing this, but this is a funny review that came through on iTunes. It was by a guy calling himself Bad Golfer. And he says, "I'm a terrible golfer, but occasionally need to golf for work outings, etc. These guys gave me some great tips on how to behave out there and not look like an idiot. I'll keep tuning in. Thanks, guys." So that was great to see. And we've talked about in some prior episodes, we talked about etiquette, we talked about all these things. So we really try to touch on a little bit of everything in these episodes. We try to have a little something for the beginning golfers, for the more advanced guys. And, you know, it's great because like we talked about in the first episode, Mike and I, we're not pros. We're just a couple of guys who love the game. We love learning the game. We love sharing that. So when we see people who are maybe just, you know, dipping their toe in the water and just starting to play golf, we really get excited for them. So like to share that type of information. But anyway, this week we're going to actually switch it up a little bit. We talk a lot about instructional stuff, but we're going to have a little fun with this episode. We're going to talk about some of the most expensive golf courses in America. And this is something that Mike and I had a lot of fun researching. Some of this stuff kind of astonished us that some of the prices, but some are worth it. I mean, these are some of our bucket list courses. So we're going to get into that. And then later on, we're going to talk about our guide, our complete guide to golf tipping, because that's something that was fun researching as well. There's a lot of little ins and outs that you may not be aware of. And if you ever do get the chance to play one of these really expensive courses, you're going to need to know that, because that's going to certainly come into play. So we're going to touch on that a little bit later on. Now, as always, I always mention this, but it's very important. If there's anything, you know, as far as you miss or notes you want to take on this, don't worry. If you're driving, we have all that in the show notes. You'll be able to get to that by going to golficity.com/episode9. Again, I can't believe it's episode 9 already. So, Mike, you've been out there playing it all?
Yeah, I played yesterday. It's starting to get really cold up here in the Northeast, and, you know, the long sleeves are coming out. But great weather up here. The golf game has been good. It's been improving as the year's coming to a close, unfortunately. But it is getting cold, and I know you played today, right? So how
was
it out there?
I was out there, and not only the cold, I mean, the cold I can kind of deal with, but the shortened daylight, that's what's killing me. The biggest thing is playing. Like, what I'm struggling with right now is consistency, because you really got to be out there and playing. And with this shortened daylight, and I've just been kind of busy with work and things like that, no excuses, but I haven't been out there much. And you just, it's hard to groove a swing when you're not out there a lot. And today was just like perfect example of that. Like, I played pretty well, but there was it was up and down. I either hit a great shot or not so great. I couldn't get that consistency, and I was kind of kicking myself, because I know it's just something of, I just got to play more. I talked a couple episodes ago about how I'm trying to kind of change my swing a little bit just for more consistency, and I just know I need to be out there and really work it in order to get that muscle memory. But what I, you know, I just try to rely on the things we talk about here. And the last episode in the mental game, we talked about just keeping with your routine and trying to your pre-shot routine is what you're going to use to try to get over those hurdles. And that's what I did today. I just dedicated myself to one thing. I told myself, I'm just not going to break concentration, because we talked about that in the last episode. I'm like, I want to see what it's like to just try to get out there and for every shot, no matter what happens, not break concentration. And it did help me stay on track. It's a good way to avoid a blow-up hole. So that was good. And I had a couple of really great shots, but try to squeeze as many rounds in there as we can until it gets starts to get really dark and cold, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I need to start looking into the simulator boots. I think the cold weather is going to be coming really quick, so you and I are going to be indoors soon, and it's not going to be fun, but we usually make it fun in there, so I'm looking forward to continuing my year-round golf up here in the Northeast.
Absolutely. That's better than nothing. Hey, and I tell you what, maybe if we're really lucky, I don't know if we'll be able to sneak away at all this winter, but maybe we could go down south and play one of these bucket list most expensive courses. Maybe
Absolutely.
A Christmas gift, right?
You know, especially down in maybe Hilton Head or something. That'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. So let's dive into these, because this I found was really interesting. And we're going to talk about some of the different price ranges just for the fact of just noting a point of how expensive some of these courses can be. But just know that these prices obviously change. And what we're talking about, some of the prices that we mentioned here and in the article, which you can find on the website, we're talking about prices that are your typical prices. There's always going to be like twilight hours or off hours or, you know, weekday hours where you may be able to get a discount. But we're talking, you know, your run-of-the-mill, probably weekend rate. And the first one was one that I mentioned, I think, two episodes ago as one of my personal bucket list courses, and that's Kiawa Island, the ocean course that's down in South Carolina. And that, I mean, we're just starting with number 10. We're gonna kind of work up from here. But Kiawa runs you about $353 for greens fees. So pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. And we're going to get into this more, and that does not include any of the type of tipping or anything else that we're going to get into. But that's your greens fees, $353. But you take a look at some of those pictures. I know we see them all the time, and you just like – you start to get the itch and say, I think I'd be ready to pay that kind of money, right?
Yeah. I mean, do they I'm sure there's caddy fees on top of that.
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of these show caddy fees. I think, if I remember correctly, I think they do allow carts. I'd have to double check that. And that's a good, really good point, because we get into this in the article, and it's something to always keep in mind. If you do get a chance to play one of these places, it's always best to kind of call ahead and get an idea of that, because you may just book one of these courses. You know, just the greens fees might be a stretch, but you're not realizing that you may be paying cart fees, caddy fees on top of that. And that transitions perfectly into the next one. We talk about Whistling Straits in Kohler, Wisconsin, another beautiful course. And there we're talking $360 in greens fees. But on top of that, you have to get a caddy, and it's a $60 for the caddy. That's the caddy cost without tip. So we're already, you know, near $500 for 18 holes, no tipping included. You know, so Mike, you had an experience, didn't you play one of the local courses here in Jersey where it was caddy was required, right?
Yeah, it was a hot summer day. I remember it was like 100 degrees, and we had to take a caddy. They had no carts at this club. It was a really nice club. But we had to get caddies, or we could have carried our bags. But in 100-degree weather, Frank, I wasn't carrying my bags. It was a very hilly course. So I took the caddy out, and, I mean, the caddy was great. I mean, he was worth the tip. But I just didn't know what to tip him, you know, at all. I know we're going to talk about this, but, you know, so luckily I had the cash on me, and I was asking my playing partners, what do you think I should give this guy? And I was, you know, it worked out in the end, but it's something good to know, especially when you go to some of these good courses. A lot of people don't know what to tip the caddy, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I didn't.
Well, often you're just not used to using one. I mean, you watch it on the weekends, you know, you see the pros with their caddies out there, but you know, you don't realize that there are courses like this, you know, just for the point of keeping them in pristine condition. They don't allow, you know, carts out there. And, you know, just as an added service, they, you know, it's just what comes with the territory. You've got to have a caddy out there. So French Lick is one of them. And let's see. No, I'm sorry. We jumped ahead there. French Lick is our next one, which also does require a caddy. That's a Pete Dye course. That's out in French Lick, Indiana. This one too. What really amazed me. That look at the yardage on that course. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable.
Over 8,000 yards, right?
8,100 yards. So it's one of the, not only is it one of the most expensive, it's one of the longest tracks in America. I'll tell you what, that price point and that yardage, that sounds like a long day for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not playing that course for that price. You know, to Google image this, I want to ask our listeners, Google image French Lick Resort. If you've never seen this course, it is beautiful. I mean, the landscaping, I mean, it's probably a great experience, probably worth the money. And 8,100 yards, it's going to be, what do you think, Frank, 7-hour round?
Oh my God, I can't imagine. Yeah. But yeah, and that's the thing. We're not knocking it. We're kind of in awe at the prices of some of these. But push came to shove, I think we'd both probably pay for at least one of these rounds, because there's a reason. There's a reason that they're this expensive. These are beautiful courses. These are courses that are historic. We're talking about, a lot of the courses we're going to talk about are ones where, you know, the PGA Tour is coming through there every year. You're watching it on TV, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, there's nothing like it, because then, too, you always remember it. And, you know, when you do watch the tour, it's nice to be able to say, hey, I played there. You know, I know what it's like to play 16. You know, I know what it's like to tee off on that first hole or over the water or whatever it may be. And it's just a really interesting experience. So definitely worth a shot if you get a chance. But so that's French Lick. Yeah, that one, I think we went over, is $350 plus the $30 caddy. Again, before tipping, you're at $450 for the day, and you've got 8,100 yards in front of you to play with. So that's a long day, but should be, as you said, a beautiful day. The next one is one of the, we're moving into the more famous courses, and this one's well known, Spyglass Hill in Pebble Beach, California. I tell you what, I could do a week out there in Pebble Beach and just do all these courses. I mean, that's one of the premier golf spots.
Yeah, I mean, every course out on the West Coast, especially the Pebble Resorts and even back to Whistling Straits, those coastline courses, if you've never played them, they're remarkable. The scenery, everything. I mean, it's a whole different level of golf, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we posted some pictures on the site, so definitely make sure you check those out. And it's beautiful. The backdrop of the ocean right there against these pristine fairways and greens. I think I'd probably be looking around too much to concentrate on my game. I don't know about you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. So Spyglass, actually, you don't need a caddy there. But the cost for greens fees alone, now we're moving up to $370 for greens fees. So again, once in a lifetime experience. And there's always that possibility, you know, off season. I mean, if they even have what you'd consider an off season out there in California, you might be able to get it for a little bit less. But yeah, you're talking about $370 for Spyglass. But again, you look at these pictures and it's just like you're drooling. You want to be out there.
Yeah, Frank, a lot of these courses, I think, we'll charge you less for the golf if you stay there, like dramatically less if you stay on the property. If it comes on a resort, like Spyglass Pebble Beach is a resort, and I believe the fees are cut down, you know, I want to say more than 50%, but definitely
yeah,
something to check
that's
out.
That's true. That is a theme we kind of saw that was running through there. Mm-hmm. So that's a great, great thing to see. And once we get to our most expensive course, that really comes into play. And we'll get that in a moment, because so definitely look that up, because most of these things, we're talking about trips that you're putting together, traveling and playing. So if you are putting together a trip, you know, all you and your golf buddies want to head out there, that's a good thing to look into. Ask, you know, if I stay at the resort, is there a discount? You know, you may be able to work yourself a little bit of a deal, but some of these resorts will cost you a pretty penny as well. Sticking around California, Cordvale Golf Club. Now we're talking about $245 plus, we said, about $80 for the caddy fee. That's before the tip. And it, plus or minus, they said it could range anywhere from $56 to $105. So, I mean, again, we're sticking around that $400, $500 range, and it's just – It's definitely expensive, and actually, we noted here that you actually have to stay at the resort in order to play the course. It's not something you can just walk out there. And I mean, maybe if they have a tournament or something where they open it up to other people, but there's a good example. Not only you forget getting a discount for staying, you have to stay actually at the resort in order to play there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed some of these you have to stay, which is it's pretty interesting. So, but my favorite course I've I'd love to play. Never played this course. It's coming up next, so I want to jump into this one. Good old TPC Sawgrass, the stadium course. Known for that island par 3, 17th hole. Public course. Anyone can play it. You know, that's probably one of my top 5 bucket list course, just because it's so famous, and I just would love to get a crack at that 17th hole. I know it probably hit the water a few times, but I don't know, Frank. Have you you know anyone who's ever played there, or have you played there?
Actually, I got a funny story for this one. I haven't had the chance to play there, but I've mentioned this before. My father's he's an avid golfer. He's played at least 3 of these courses so far. We've mentioned he's had a chance to play a couple of them, but he was playing TPC Sawgrass, and it was him and a buddy, and they paired him up with a couple. It was a guy and his girlfriend, and they're playing, and they were lights out. I guess this couple happened to love golf, and that's what they do. They travel and they play. It was their second time playing TPC Sawgrass, and she actually played from the men's tees and beat all of them. I think she shot a 76 in TPC Sawgrass. Wow. Stadium course, which is just absolutely, you know, mind-boggling. But one thing that was really funny was they get to the 17th, the famous 17th, and now this guy could hold his own. She could play. They're out there. They're, you know, parring every hole. And he puts his in the water. And she starts thinking, something's up. Why would, you know, he doesn't normally miss. You know, he's too good a golfer to put one in the water, which is saying something, because that's no easy hole as it starts. But what she didn't know was that he had tipped off my father and his playing partner before that he was going to propose on the green on 17. So his nerves must have got to him there. And who knows, maybe he's tuning in listening to this, so I won't pick on him, because he probably beat me out there. But make a long story short, he proposes on 17. She says yes. It was a great moment for everybody. You know, they took pictures, whatever. Next hole, 18, she hits it right down the middle of the fairway.
Wow.
I guess he shanks it off to the right. So you know who that affected.
Yeah, no loss of focus from her.
And it wasn't her. So I don't know. I don't know if that's an omen for how the rest of that golf relationship's going to go. She'll probably be beating up on him for years after that.
That's great.
But yeah, his nerves kicked in. But anyway, beautiful course. Great for something like that. Beautiful resort down there. Warm Florida weather. Great if you can get down there. And that's TPC Sawgrass. That's, like I said earlier, you can watch the pros play there every year. So just being there and, you know, standing around at a family barbecue and being able to watch it on TV and say, oh yeah, I've played 17. Of course, they're all going to ask, so you better not put it in the water.
Yeah.
So diving into the next one, Boulder City, Nevada. And we've got quite a few in this area, in the Las Vegas area. And I don't know, did we even mention, we got so quickly into that TPC Sawgrass, did we mention the cost? It's the $375 for greens fees over there. So,
which is on the cheaper side from the other ones we've been talking about.
Yeah, but it's $375. That's no caddy. That's nothing. That's just green fees. So,
right.
I don't know. It's worth it.
I'd probably spend $200 in the pro shop buying souvenirs.
That too. Mm-hmm. Bringing them back for everybody so you can prove that you were there.
Exactly.
Cheaper just to bring a camera. Cascada Course, Boulder City. That one, now that'll run you $395 for the greens fee, plus $50 for the caddy. So you're up in $450. But beautiful, beautiful desert course. Just going through some of the pictures there. Again, it's not someplace I've played, but just in awe. And I love those desert courses. I love that real lush green fairways up against just you look in the distance and it's just that sandy desert with the mountains you can see in Nevada. It's just beautiful.
Great landscape on this course, Frank. It kind of looks like if there was a golf course on the bottom of the Grand Canyon, but like a miniature version of that. I mean, just, you feel like you're in just swallowed up by these mountains in the desert sun with no clouds in the sky almost ever. And like you said, that lush green fairway, those Las Vegas courses, Nevada courses, they are so pretty, so well manicured, and you know, they're phenomenal to play on if you haven't played them.
Yeah, and I tell you what, $395 sounds expensive, but how many people are losing more than that?
Exactly.
On the table in a half an hour?
Right.
you know, up in Vegas. It's more worth it. Oh, and here's a little tip for you. This is something we came across. If you happen to play there before 8:52 a.m. or after 1:18 p.m., it's pretty exacting, your $395 greens fee is reduced to dramatically reduced to $350. Just amazing savings all around. Wow. Right? Yeah. So make sure you get there and tee off at 8:50 and save yourself $45. Wow. And then again, I'll probably $45 worth of golf balls is what I'll end up losing into the desert, you know, or drinking at least that much Gatorade to stay hydrated. Bring a case with you. So, all right, moving back to the East Coast, number three. Also, this was in our top 10, I believe, in our bucket list courses on another article we ran on the site. But this is Pinehurst number two, and the U.S. Open is going to be coming there next year, which we're looking forward to seeing. But Pinehurst will – I think this is the first one that cracks into the $400 greens fees alone range. Pinehurst number two will cost you $450 for the round plus 55 more for the caddy. This is another one of those courses that requires a caddy. Beautiful course, though. It's you know, one of many on the property. So if you go down there, make sure you schedule to play a few of them. But number two is the one everybody knows. That's the most famous. That's where, like I said, they're playing the U.S. Open. And you know what? The caddy's well worth it, too, because these guys know what they're doing out there, and they're going to help you navigate the course, and you'll have a better overall experience. You're just going to play better. So definitely worth it. I know this is another one that my father had played there. He played there just 2 months ago. And the caddy who he played with happened to be a PGA pro, not a touring pro, obviously, but it's just like, you know, one of the clubhouse pros. And it was great having him out there. He'd be able to give you a little bit of an idea of how to play it, because they know the course like the back of their hand. But again, here's a tip, and this one's worth taking a look at. If you stay at the resort here, and we talked about this earlier about getting a discount, if you stay at the resort, you can actually get a round for $195. So we're talking about a serious discount there.
And I heard if you tee off before 6 a.m., they give you a bag of teas or something.
I hear if you play in the dark when nobody knows you're there.
Yeah. You know, I think, but that, no, this discount is much more generous than the one from Cascada up there. But it's a big difference. But I'm sure staying at the resort isn't cheap either.
No, but it's a beautiful resort. Actually, you know, when my father got back from there, he had played one of his best rounds ever at Pinehurst, you know, number two. So he was just absolutely ecstatic. But he actually raved about the resort. He said the food was great. Big resort, big place. I mean, tons of rooms, but he said the hospitality was almost like second to none. So might be worth it. And if you're going down that way, there's tons of courses in the area. So you can kind of treat yourself to number two, and why not play the others while you're out there? Number nine and some of the other courses, and they're all beautiful. But if you're down there, don't skip number two. It's worth playing it. You'll always remember it. So play it. And now shooting back to the West Coast, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, about Pebble Beach Spyglass, but I mean, come on, Pebble Beach Golf Links. Yeah. That's the, you know, talk about bucket lists and talk about beautiful courses. I mean, every single hole is like the type of caliber where it could be your computer desktop background, as you say. You know, it's just beautiful. It's one of the most picturesque views on the entire West Coast. But it's going to cost you. If you can get out there, greens fees are $495. Would you pay it, Mike?
I would. I would pay it here because of all the PGA Tour events that have been held here over the years. I mean, you know, Frank, that they're keeping this thing in immaculate shape. I've never played it. So, and even if I'm wrong about that, tweet us at Golficity. Let us know what you think about those. I got to imagine that the place is immaculate and the views and everything else. And I would definitely pay that for that.
So you're saying, let's go on record here. So you're saying if you had $500 in your pocket and you could spend it on one of these, travel not included, obviously.
Right.
Your pick is Pebble Beach.
My pick would be Pebble Beach. Absolutely.
I think I have to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just...
It's got the history. They all have the history, you know, but this has got, like I said, all those events and all the pros that have walked up and down those fairways, and it'd be nice to play it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although it's not our most expensive course, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll let's jump into number one. We'll do our fake drum roll here. Shadow Creek Golf Course in Las Vegas. Now, this is, you know, let's just call it the high roller course. It's in Vegas. Why not? Now we're talking, we've broken into the $500 greens fees alone territory here. And on top of that, you will need a caddy, and you're talking about a caddy tip anywhere in $50 to $100 per bag. So now you're looking at about a $600 round. But look, it's been consistently ranked the number one public course in Las Vegas. And as we all know, Vegas has some beautiful courses. And actually, if you play there, and they talk about, I don't know, high luxury here, they'll even send a private limousine to pick you up from the resort and bring you over to the course.
Yeah, that's the least they could do.
You know? Absolutely, that's what I call luxury.
Yeah, this is a big big celebrity spot, Frank. Michael Jordan golf outing, a bunch of charitable foundation outings for celebrities, things like that. Usually take place at Shadow Creek. I've never played it. I've seen some photos online. It looks great. It doesn't look as pretty as some of the other ones up there, but I'm sure it's a great course.
Yeah, and you know what, do you have to be an MGM guest to play there, or you just get a better chance of getting a tee time if you're a guest?
Yeah, that's probably the case. I think you'll have a better chance with the room reservation there, but I think you could play it, you know, if you're staying outside the resort. I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah, and so definitely check in if you're out there and check into that, but I want to hear for certain. If anybody's had a chance to play there, so you know, if you've had a chance to play there, let us know. Like Mike said, tweet us at Golficity, or we have a link on there to the golf directory, which we've talked about before, where you can actually post your own ratings of these courses. So definitely jump on there and rate this course for us. We want to hear what you think. I mean, I'm sure everybody's going to come back with 5 stars on this one, because you know, there's a reason why it's so expensive. It's a beautiful course. I mean, just the waterfalls out there, the backdrops. Talk about immaculately maintained. All these courses across the board. I mean, it's nothing like playing your everyday county course. I mean, which don't get me wrong. We all love them. We play them every weekend. But grass like you've never seen before. Just there's guys out there just night and day keeping these things in perfect condition. So it's beautiful, but we definitely want to know if anybody's had a chance to play these, you know, post a comment on the article. I'll have a link to that in the show notes, golfsc.com/episode9, tweet us, or like I said, leave us your own reviews on the golf directory. You can get to that by going to golfsc.com and clicking on at the top navigation. We have a link for the golf course reviews, and you can look them up, and all the ones in the article are linked to them. So definitely check that out. Most of these two, at least a handful of them, I should say, have where you can book tee times right through the site, and there are some discounts on there. They're few and far between, and you do have to book way in advance, but if you're going to book there anyway, might as well try to save a couple bucks. Use the tee time system on the site and just try to save yourself a little bit, like playing before 8:52, or whenever it may be. So those are our top 10 most expensive, and just to clarify, those are the most expensive public courses in America. When you start to get into private course memberships, then we're dipping into a whole different territory. I mean, some of these courses are amazing. We should actually put an article together on that at some time. I mean, we're talking about, like, some of these are $250,000 just to get in the door. You know, as your down payment to be a member. It's not, and if you can even get in. Some of them are invite only. It's insane. But for public courses, for just everyday guys like us who want to get out there and play them, it's going to cost you as much as, like I said, $500 plus your caddy. So let's get into that a little bit. We want to talk about we recently posted an article we're calling The Complete Guide to Golf Tipping. And we did this by request because we hear a lot of times guys will say, well, I don't know, you know, what's appropriate to tip out there. And just like the guy who had left a review for us on iTunes. Sometimes maybe you're playing for work, or your boss invited you out there or something, and you're not even a regular golfer. You kind of don't want to, you know, have any type of faux pas out there because you didn't tip the right way or whatever it may be. So let's dive into these a little bit. And the first thing that's going to happen at any golf course, when you get there, you're going to get right to the bag drop. Okay. Now, again, there's a separation, and all throughout this, you got to keep something in mind. You always have to still apply a little bit of common sense. Okay. Is there somebody who's attending the bag drop? Is there somebody, who's actually coming and getting your bag from your car and bringing it over and putting it on the cart and all those types of things? That's where we get into tipping territory. We're not saying that you need to, in order to be, do the socially acceptable thing, go run and find somebody to tip. That's not what we're saying. I mean, I was playing and I ended up carrying my bags to the cart, setting up my own cart. And this was at a private course, but it was early in the morning. You know, the guys who were taking care of the carts were kind of off doing their own thing, like running around. And I knew that. So, fine. I put everything together myself, and no tip is expected in something like that. But otherwise, Mike, what would you say would be a fair, acceptable tip for somebody who, let's say, they come out to your car, get your bag, get you set up on the cart, and, get you out there?
Yeah, I usually throw them a few bucks, a couple bucks, $2 to $3. Some days a $5 tip can go a long way. If they prep it nice and, they say they'll clean them afterwards for you. If they're going to do all that for you, I'd probably throw them $5 at the beginning of the day or give them a few bucks up front and then maybe a few more when I come off 18, when they clean them up.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. They're performing a service for you. So I don't think there's any harm in asking either. Maybe throw them an extra $5, like you talked about, and just tell them, hey, guys, if you don't mind, just if you could clean them up before I leave or something like that. Most places will offer that service, and they'll be glad to do it, especially if you're taking care of them on the right type of tip. So keep that in mind. Keep that range in mind. Again, it's a socially acceptable thing. You don't have to throw them much of a tip if you're carrying your bag up there. But if somebody's going out there, they're going out of their way to try to make your day a little bit easier. It's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, you'll tip somebody more than that for pouring a beer for you at the bar. So these guys are lugging these things around, these clubs around all day. They're getting you set up. Make sure you take care of them. Now, what's your take on tipping the starter, Mike?
Not necessary. And I mean, that'd be more of a bribe, I think, because, I think the only time you want to give the starter money is if he can get you out early. I mean, or, move you up in line or something. So to me, it seems like more of a bribe. You don't have to tip the starter. You're not required to tip the starter. The starter's there to kind of move the pace of play along and get people out on the course. So I've never tipped him. I don't know if you have, but I wouldn't.
No. And you know what? To be honest, sometimes the guys won't even take it. A lot of times the starters, there's really nothing they can even do to get you out there sooner. Most times they're scheduled tee times, they're scheduled 10 minutes after each other. And if they throw you ahead, it's just going to back everything up and make a longer day for them. So don't even be surprised if you walked up to them, maybe you're in a rush to get back to the office or something, and you try to throw them a 20 to get you out there a little sooner. Don't be surprised if they just, politely turn it down, because chances are there's nothing that much they can do. So I'm in the same boat. I would not overly concern yourself with tipping the starter. Again, you can always use a slight discretion. If somebody goes out of their way to make your life a little bit easier, maybe. But otherwise, right?
Yeah. I mean, remember that starter we played up at Central Valley? He actually told us to go two holes ahead because the guys in front of us were really slow. And then he said, come back and play the first two at the end. And he allowed us to jump over everyone. That was really nice.
He had us all over that course.
Yeah. And we didn't give him anything.
I think he was having fun with that day. He had us do two. He's like, you guys are going to play 2 through 7, right? And then he goes, then I want you to jump over to 11 and this. And I'm like, this
go
guy.
Back to one, yeah.
He's playing chess and we're his rook.
Exactly. But it was nice. Like, we finished the round quicker.
The guy knew what he was doing, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, they do. Look, they do it all day on the weekends. A lot of these guys, they're just out there for the fun. A lot of them are retired guys who are just, they're the starter on the weekend so that they can play a couple free rounds during the week. But look, they do a good job out there. But again, that's what they're doing. I don't see as much of a reason to tip them. Now, let's say you're done with your round and you come back and you're returning the cart. question is, do you have to tip those guys again at that point? What do you think?
If you tipped them up front, probably not. I actually had this job for a couple of years when I was in high school at a country club nearby. I was the cart return guy who cleaned the clubs and then took the members' clubs off and put them in the clubhouse and then brought the cart down to the shack where they cleaned them up. But if I got $5, I never got anything at the bag drop. It was, you know, that was just part of the job. But I, if I got $5, I was happy, you know, for the club cleanup at the end. That was a great tip.
You know, that's a good thought, too. I mean, you got to keep in mind, like, a lot of these guys, it's the same guys who are setting you up and the same guys who are, you know, taking the cart and cleaning it up after your round. So if you're going to tip them after the round, no need to tip them up front. But we're also talking sometimes it's a different guy. Maybe one guy helps you. It might not be a bad idea to throw the guy in the morning $2. And if it's the same guy, you could throw him three more later, whatever you want to do, however you want to handle it. But they do, again, they do a lot of work. It's like you just said, these guys are, you know, chances are you've got different things like wrappers and, you know, granola bars, whatever else, beer cans left in the cart. And these guys are there to clean that all up and get it turned around. So especially if you leave a mess, make sure you tip the guys. You know, I've had it before where I've done the opposite. Like if I take the cart over to my car and I, you know, I don't like to leave a mess for anybody. So I'll take the clubs out, put them in my trunk. I'll clean the cart out. And then at that point, I'm just dropping it off and the guy's just driving it away. Under those circumstances, you might not need to tip. But look, if the guy is, like you said, if he's cleaning your clubs up, he's cleaning your cart out, make sure you tip him. Make sure. So those are the things you're going to run into on a basic, you know, day-to-day, playing the regular courses you're playing. But let's get into some of the other things. And these are the areas where you may not quite know the etiquette because you're not used to doing it as much. For instance, we talked about caddies. Not every course has caddies, but there are ones, like we just mentioned, and there's even some that are not in that really high expensive range where they still have caddies and they have caddy requirements. So you need to know what you're going to tip them. And what we discuss in the article is that the basic rule of thumb is to tip the caddies at least 50% of the cost of the round. So if the round costs you $100, you're probably going to be throwing them $50, because we're not talking about somebody who's just cleaning up your clubs or getting your cart ready. This guy is lugging your bag around all day. And most importantly, a really good caddy will make your whole day 10 times better. These guys know the course. They'll tell you what club to hit. And this isn't just like what you see with the pros where they're just saying, you know, they know the pros game and they'll say, this is what you want you to hit. These guys will give you a little bit of a perspective. They'll say, look, this particular hole plays about 20 yards longer. It's uphill. I would club up here. And if you're paying for an expensive round, you want to have a good day. And if these guys are doing that type of service for you, absolutely. Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. I mean, they're great on the greens too. I mean, if you're staring down a 20-foot birdie putt or par putt, and you just know it's going right to left, and the caddy goes, you know, left to right, you're just like, what? No way! But they're right. They know the course so well. They play it or walk it or work it, I should say, at least 2 to 3 times a week, or more than that. I would think they're doing 5 rounds a week. Carrying people's clubs and helping them. So they know the course, so they could be worth every penny. If you haven't experienced, definitely try using a caddy. It's a pretty cool thing, cool experience.
Yeah, and some people might flinch at that when I say that, you know, 50% tip. But I think until you've tried it, you may not quite realize how valuable a caddy can be. I mean, think about it like this. You could spend a day on a new course. You don't really know the course and you're out there playing. Maybe you're using your GPS app or whatever you're doing to try to do your best bet. And you're just struggling through it because it's unfamiliar territory versus you've got somebody out there who's walking you through your round, telling you everything. Look, this hole plays this way. You're going to want to be on the right side because if you hit the left side of the fairway, you're going to be closed out. You won't have an approach shot. You're going to have to lay it up. But if you hit the right side, you're going to have a shot in and whatever. I mean, that the value of that could be 8-10 strokes in a round. I mean, to me, that's worth the difference. You know, you go home happy at the end of the day. You play maybe a course you don't get to play often. You play it really well versus not. That's a big thing. I mean, we even discuss in the article, some guys will even go so far as to tip the head caddy 20% just to make sure that they get the best caddy. If that tells you anything about the value of a good caddy.
Hey, have you ever tipped the maitre d' to get the best waiter?
Maybe the best table.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so who knows? I mean, that's your discretion. We're not saying that you have to tip the head caddy by any means, but some guys will do it because they know the value of a caddy. And like I said, until you've actually played with one, you may not quite know how much it is. But here's another one. This one's something that personally I have not had any experience with because this is quite rare, but it does exist, and that's four caddies. And what a four caddy will do is that they actually assign one four caddy to each foursome, right, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, I just had a four caddy, but go ahead. I'll tell you my story in a minute.
Oh, I have to hear that. But the way it works is the four caddy will be one guy, like I said, for a foursome, and they'll actually stay a little bit ahead of you, and it'll help you find your balls, which to me, I wish I had today in the fall. I couldn't find anything with all these leaves. I'm kicking leaves all day trying to find my golf ball. But look, some of these things, it's a long – we talked about whichever one we were talking about was 8,100 yards. That can be a long day, especially if you're walking around looking for your ball all day. So look, a guy like that who can who's out there huffing it for 5 hours ahead of you, helping you flag down your ball and keep your round moving, that's got to be a pretty good value. And typically, these type of guys will receive anywhere from $50 to $100 tip for a foursome, which really is not that bad. You got four guys, $25 each, and then he's taking care of finding your ball on every single hole. I don't know. It's not such a bad concept. What was your experience?
Played in a charity outing. And by the way, try to find out if you're ever playing these types of events, normally the outing or the club will pay the caddy for the day. So he's already been paid for the round, and because he's assigned to just one group for the day. So you don't want to kind of double tip him, but you know, you still give him something nice. But my experience was great. The four caddies, really, really helpful. I mean, we just raved about how great a caddy could be. But you know, at the end of the day, Frank, we know how far we hit some clubs. We know what club we're going to use. You know, they'll give us little hints here and there. But the four caddy, I mean, the two things that stood out, finding your ball, standing down the fairway, like you just mentioned. And the second was he always had my putter and my wedge, he knew the wedge I used in his hand, you know, as I got up to my, you know, up and around 80 yards, 70 yards in. So he knew to come over to me, hand me my wedge, hand me my putter, take my driver when I was done, things like that. So worth every penny, but, you know, finding the balls for you is so key. It could totally speed up your game and take a lot of stress off you during the round, too.
Yeah, that's not such a bad concept either, having one guy for a foursome. I mean, that mm-hmm. seems much more reasonable. That even reminds me, a lot of times with caddies even, something to keep in mind, a lot of courses that require a caddy will not do one caddy to a man. Sometimes they'll team them up. For instance, even going back to what we talked about when my father played Pinehurst, they had, for every two guys, there was one caddy. So he was carrying two bags. So that's something to factor into your tip as well. You maybe end up splitting your tip with the guy you're playing with. So if it was like, let's say you and I out there, Mike, and we decide we're going to tip the caddy, you know, $50, you know, $60, we just split that. And now it becomes much more reasonable.
Right.
So absolutely. Keep all these things in mind. Like I said, nothing here that we're saying is set in stone. We're trying to give you guidelines of what's mostly acceptable, what we've seen out there. We called a lot of golf courses. We talked to some of the pros, and this is what they're kind of telling us. This is kind of the way to go. So those are the main ones. The other things you're going to run into, there's a lot of incidentals, and these are the things that I think really fall into the common sense realm. You got, you know, beverages out on the course. You know, you have the we always say the cart girls, because when, let's be honest, 99% of the time they have the ladies out there, because I think they end up with the bigger tips, if I could say this slightly. But so use your discretion there. Look, you get a couple of beers, it's no different than if you're at the bar, maybe $1 a drink, a tip, right? You think that's about where you were at, where you're at?
10% rule of thumb, you know, for that is pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess it depends on what she looks like.
Yeah, don't get carried away. Don't start throwing 20s at her.
Forget what I said there. All right. Yeah. So anyway, so that's that. We will have, again, we'll have a link to the article in the website that has a little bit more information, goes into more depth. And it's just important to know. And we talked about this before. We talked about the art of doing business on the golf course. This goes back a couple episodes ago. And it's just something to keep in mind, because you may be out there with you know, potential clients, your boss, whatever it may be, and you don't want to, you know, be the guy who's making, you know, these social faux pas because you're not tipping anybody and you're not realizing that that's something that's, you know, acceptable. And it just sends the wrong message. You know, it's at this point, like, look, everybody knows it's customary. You tip when you go out to eat, but you know, we're not all golfers. We don't all know who you're supposed to tip. So that's why we put this together. So that about wraps everything up with we wanted to cover. As always, want to make sure, you guys know you can contact us by emailing us at podcast@golfficity.com. We want to hear what you think. Also, all the articles we mentioned, I will have links to those in the show notes, and you can post your comments there. Let us know, you know, the courses you played, the tipping etiquette that you've come across. Maybe you have some funny stories of your own that you want to share. So definitely share those with us. And Mike, do you have anything else you wanted to cover?
Nope. Just keep hitting them straight. And we look forward to telling you more good stuff next week.
Yeah. Hit them straight as long as we can, right? Fighting off this cold weather right. For every moment that we can fight it off. So anyway, enjoy your rounds out there. We'll be back with you next week. We're going to have plenty more tips that we're going to be covering and different instructional articles. So do that. And as always, check us out on the web at golfficity.com, and you'll be able to find tons more content for all skill levels there. So we'll see you again next week.